This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Welcome into another edition of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe. Getting you set for fantasy football week number 14, which for many of you might be a playoff week. For many of you might be the last regular season week, a key week as you're trying to get into the playoffs and win your league title. Hard to believe we're already in week 14. It feels like just a couple weeks ago that we said, hey, it's week one. It feels like just yesterday that we were talking about the midpoint of the season. But here we are towards the end of the fantasy season. I've got two teams of my own. Both of them, if everything ended right now, I'd be fifth place out of 12 teams, with four making the playoffs. I have a chance in both of them to sneak into the playoffs. I've been kind of middle of the road in both leagues all year long. I'm very excited about this week coming up. One of my leagues, I have LaDainian Tomlinson, and I've been fighting that battle all year, as I'm sure many of you have as well. And, you know, got him in the lineup for tonight's game, San Diego, Oakland. And, you know, that's an interesting one as well. We're going to talk about all the matchups. We're going to get to a bunch of emails that we already have in the inbox, webradio@patriots.com. That is where you can find us. We're eager to hear from you if you have any late last-minute questions on tonight's game. Should you start someone? Should you start Darren McFadden? I've got some news I just noticed on McFadden that, you know, he's not looking at to be 100% and might struggle tonight. If you have any questions for the games over the course of this weekend, we'd love to hear from you. Like I said, we've already got some emails. We're going to get to those soon and check out all kinds of rankings that we have going on. To start out the show today, we're going to get to one of the experts, one of the fantasy experts who we had early on in the season, Greg Rosenthal, who's the managing editor of RotoWorld.com, a site that I frequent and frequently bring up here on the site. He puts together rankings every week. He's got his rankings for Week 14 already up there. And he's in charge of the football content on RotoWorld.com. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Good to be back on the show.
Appreciate it. How are your fantasy teams doing? You in the playoffs?
They are rocking and rolling. I have to say, it's probably been my best season. I'm excited about this one team in this contest called the FFOC, mm-hmm. where the winner wins $1 million. So we're down to 140 people for that. So we'll see.
Are you really? You're down to 140, and it's winner take all? One prize?
The top 15 get a pretty good sizable chunk. 3,500 is 15th place, and then it steadily goes up. So I'm
$1 million.
have you already started to calculate what you would put that million towards?
No, I'm happy I won my league. You got a little something for that.
Oh, there you go.
I would be fired up. If I got through this week, it'd be the final 55.
Wow.
So then I'd start feeling really good.
And how many were in it originally to start out?
I'm not sure. So I think about 7,000, something like that.
That is incredible. Wow. So, you know, not that I needed you to tell me that to know that you know your stuff, but that is incredible. Good luck with that. That's tremendous stuff. Now, I guess, the column that you posted on rotoworld.com this week, obviously I'm sure you're using some of that yourself as you try to earn that $1 million. Who can you trust the most in the playoffs? And if you want to check out all the details of what Greg wrote on rotoworld.com, you can check it out. But it's a great topic, and as we're in the playoff season now, really, for the fantasy and roster decisions and lineup decisions, you know, the stakes are anteed up. You've got a bunch of guys, mostly running backs that you're talking about. Who would you say, you know, is the most trustworthy guy? And running back is really the key position here. The most trustworthy guy in fantasy football as we enter this week 14, 15, 16 period here.
Well, you know, I wrote the column that way because I was putting together my rankings, and each time I do it, I think, would I play this guy over this
yep.
guy? Would I play this guy over that? And a lot of the great running backs in the league have a lot of question marks about them. The guys that don't, I think you got to start with Adrian Peterson and Matt Forte. When you're thinking trustworthy, I mean, you know what you're getting from Matt Forte.
Right.
Peterson's got the Lions this week, so you can trust he'll be just fine. They actually have pretty good matchups. So those two, and amazingly, another guy I think you can trust is Thomas Jones of the Jets.
Hmm.
Maybe he's not quite at that level, but I think you know what you're going to get. I don't think he's going to give you a 50-yard performance.
And a big part of that is find the guy on a team where you know he's going to get the carries. He doesn't necessarily split with another guy. And it seems like some of these rookies are in that splitting carries mode. But Forte, you're right, is one of those main guys. How about some of these veterans who are either having inconsistent seasons or not quite at the same tier, kind of like, you know, Brian Westbrook, even a Marion Barber, and we'll even throw LaDainian Tomlinson in there. What do you think about these guys, some of these veterans, as we hit the stretch run?
Well, they're not fully healthy, which is a big... I mean,
yep.
Marion Barber didn't practice today.
Yep.
He's expected to play, but he's got a toe injury. We've seen... You mentioned Darren McFadden, how devastating the toe injury can be, and now he's going up to Pittsburgh. You know who had the most rushing yards of anyone all season against him? It was actually the Patriots on Sunday, who moved the ball fairly well.
As long as they weren't turning it over, which is a big if, you know, they were moving all right. Yeah. How about
it is so hard to run on Pittsburgh there. So he worries me a lot. LaDainian Tomlinson, I sort of think you know what you're going to get at this point. You're just going to get a mediocre performance. He's just an ordinary guy at this point. The great thing about it, though, is he plays Oakland this week.
Right.
And I believe he has the Chiefs next week. So I think those matchups will carry him through. He's kind of a good second running back. You don't want to hear that if you drafted him early. Brian Westbrook has another brutal matchup. I would be kind of afraid to sit him after that fourth touchdown game.
Right, and I think against the Giants earlier this year, he had a struggle, and they play the Giants this week. How about a quarterback? You know, it's hard to get that consistency, and I guess Drew Brees has been the closest to the most consistent quarterback, although he's got a lot of picks. Who would you say is maybe the top two or three most trustworthy quarterbacks in these next few weeks?
Well, Brees and Warner are the top two by far. And Warner, to me, is just as trustworthy. I was worried about those games against the NFC East. They only sacked him one time in those two games, and he put up pretty solid numbers, especially considering the opposition. Cutler is one of my favorite players in the NFL, my favorite player in the NFL, but he's a little up and down. He's got a nice schedule with Kansas City this week. And then in terms of trustworthiness every week, I would put Aaron Rodgers at that level. Now, he's not the explosive type, but he's very consistent. If you take away the one game against Minnesota where they just could not block the Vikings defensive line, Aaron Rodgers, pretty much regardless of the opponent, puts up pretty solid numbers.
Yep. Wide receiver is tougher to judge. There seems like there's very few that you can consistently know what production you're going to get, but can you rattle off a few trustworthy wideouts?
Oh, sure. I mean, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Anquan Boldin. The Saints at this point, I believe, are trustworthy. Colston and Moore. Now, it took a while to get both those guys to the same place, but they are there now. I trust them. Greg Jennings is up there. Reggie Wayne is a guy you should be able to trust, but he really hasn't done much in the last 7 or 8 weeks. They have a great schedule, so in the end, I think you can trust Reggie Wayne. Brandon Marshall is another guy. He's kind of got up and down with Cutler. He struggled with all the attention of a number one receiver, so he's a little bit more of a boom or bust type.
Sure. Now, as we're in this fantasy stretch here for the playoffs, who are one or two guys that you think are going to be surprise impact players, whether it be because of schedule, whether it because of just, you know, opportunities that they're getting, that can really help fantasy teams these next couple weeks? I guess positive surprises and disappointments as well.
Yeah, I should look at the schedules here. I mean, Peyton Hillis for the Broncos, I think, has really earned Mike Shanahan's trust. He's more elusive than you would ever imagine.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson is someone I had almost given up for dead, but he's doing a passable imitation of Larry Johnson now.
Yeah,
and the big thing there is he's got a great schedule. That's what it's all about sometimes in the playoffs. He's got Denver this week. I forget off the top of my head who he has next week, but I know the Chiefs have a very easy schedule. And then Lendale White is a guy, maybe as a flex spot, maybe a second running back if you're not deep there. I think you could see very similar situations to what we saw on Thanksgiving the next couple weeks. They have the Browns and Ken Dorsey this week, so you can just imagine them getting up a couple scores early. They don't want to wear Chris Johnson out too much, and Lendell White gets a couple touchdowns.
Well, you mentioned Larry Johnson with Kansas City. I just taking a quick look at their schedule. They do have Denver and then San Diego, a team that can be run upon, and then Miami in Week 16. So, you know, some opportunities there, as you said, with Larry Johnson. A couple of specific situations I want to ask you about. They've kind of been some tough situations to judge from a fantasy standpoint all year. But like we said, we're getting into this this time where the stakes are higher. The Baltimore running situation. LaRon McClain, Willis McGahee, Ray Rice. It seems like out of 13 weeks, it seems like each of them have been their leading the team's leading carrier, say, four times each. What can we expect out of the Baltimore running game these next couple of weeks?
I wouldn't expect to play him if at all possible. That's what I would expect. I mean, they have a very tough schedule, and the way that John Harbaugh, their coach, is sounding is that I get the sense Willis McGahee's not 100% healthy. They've kind of rested him the last few weeks, and I get the sense that he's going to get back into the mix here at some point. And I think McClain, if you had to start one, is the guy to start because he's the most likely guy to get a touchdown. I only have one team, I believe, that has any of these guys. I have McClain and McGahee on that team. I'd rather bench them both if possible. Yeah. If I had to play one, it'd be McClain.
It's a tough one, but I probably agree with you there on McClain. How about Indianapolis? It's such an interesting situation because Joseph Addai, obviously, you know, coming into the season, one of the top, you know, four or five running backs for fantasy, and then he had the injury. He's had one spectacular game, but still sort of, you know, splitting carries sometimes with Dominic Rhodes. Rhodes getting some of the goal line opportunities. What do you expect Tony Dungy? Who do you expect Tony Dungy to call on in these next couple of weeks?
I think Joseph Addai will be okay, if only because they're playing the Bengals and the Lions, and they're playing on turf. That Colts offense really doesn't seem the same when they're in a place like Cleveland. I don't know, the offensive line I thought was improving. Joseph Addai ran a little tentative after he fumbled. I think he will get you through these fantasy playoffs in fine fashion.
Green Bay, that's another one. Green Bay, Ryan Grant, I mean, he's having a disappointing year, and Brandon Jackson taking some of the load now and splitting carries a little bit. What do you see out of that situation?
And he has a thumb injury now, so that's something that, you know, I would keep checking the news on RotoWorld or wherever you get your news and make sure you get some quotes or see what they're saying about Ryan Grant. He did practice fully on Wednesday, which is a great sign. They're facing a Houston Texans defense Monday night. Football notwithstanding, that is terrible. So they should be able to run on Houston. Maybe it turns into a two-thirds, one-third situation as a committee, but I still would feel pretty comfortable with Grant as my second running back.
And one more team running back situation I want to ask you about, and it's the one that our hometown Patriots are going to be facing on Sunday in Seattle. Julius Jones, Maurice Morris. I remember seeing last week heading into the Thanksgiving game, Mike Holmgren saying, hey, I think Julius Jones is going to have a sort of a revenge type of game against his old team, and that didn't quite pan out. Do you think Julius Jones is still going to get a lot of carries, or is this kind of Maurice Morris and T.J. Duckett, I guess, is in the mix as well there?
They are going to go back to Maurice Morris, which I think if you watch the games is the right thing to do. What Holmgren was trying to do there, I believe, was play up the revenge, motivation, and they were playing two games in 5 days, one on the road. I think he basically decided ahead of time, I'm going to feature one guy one day, the other guy the next, which makes sense. Unfortunately, Julius Jones just isn't a great NFL player, so Maurice Morris will be the guy this Sunday against the Patriots. He's actually out there on some waiver wire, so he's not a bad pickup. I wouldn't be thrilled with playing him, but he's okay for some depth.
Not quite on your trustworthy list there, I can imagine.
No. I'd rather play Sammy Morris. We forget. I think as Patriots fans, I have to admit I am a Patriots fan. You underrate Morris and Kevin Falk, and yet their running game has been very effective. It's tough to predict what they're going to do, but I think this could be a Sammy Morris type of game if they can get a lead there.
Well, yeah, it's true. And Morris, you know, obviously he had the injury, but yeah, he's getting some goal line opportunities. And Kevin Falk, you know, you don't always necessarily notice it during the game, but you look at the stat sheet at the end, and he's totaling about 100 yards of total offense a game and getting into the end zone every couple weeks too. So you could do worse. It seems like there. The tight ends have really intrigued me all season long. And as I was looking at box scores of the games last week, I think I counted eight teams, a quarter of the league, whose tight ends led their team in receiving. It just seems like there are an abundance of tight ends this year who are you can really rely on to really be almost a receiver and have those types of numbers. What have been your thoughts on the tight end position this year? And is it different? Is it just me, or is it different this year? Are there more quality tight ends for fantasy?
Well, we did a little study on that going into this year. Last year, last season was the best season for fantasy tight ends ever, by far, in terms of the top level guys. The top six tight ends last year were just as valuable as second receivers out there. Mm. They were basically like wideouts.
Yeah.
I think what you're seeing this year is it's not quite as top heavy. The top guys aren't far apart, except for Tony Gonzalez maybe at this point. But you're absolutely right. You have a list of about 12 or 14 guys that are rock solid. Guys like Zach Miller are on pace for 750 yards. Tony Scheffler is a great play this week against the Chiefs. John Carlson, I think, is a great sneaky play against the Patriots.
Sure.
For Seattle. So you're right. It's basically the tight end position is almost like being a wide receiver.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Let's just talk real quick about tonight's game. It's the San Diego-Oakland game. And if people are listening and have some last-minute lineup decisions, one thing that absolutely blew me away in looking at box scores from last week is Jamarcus Russell. One wide receiver on that team caught a single pass, and that was Ronald Curry, who caught only one. That was just one random thing that I happened to see. Any interesting sneaky plays out of tonight's game that you would have to advise people for tonight's game?
And to take that even further, he actually caught a pass that was a hook and ladder.
Was it so really? I didn't even know.
I happened to have watched that game, and he caught it and he threw it back to Darren McFadden for a pretty good game. So it wasn't even like a normal catch. The Raiders are abysmal through the air. So even playing San Diego, I can't imagine playing anyone associated with their passing game except Zach Miller, who I really love this week. I have him ranked as a top seven guy. So he is a guy, I think he had 95 yards and a touchdown last time he played him. So I like him. And I'm a little worried about Phillip Rivers and that whole passing game. They could be great, but they could be terrible. And he is such a streaky player. The Raiders' secondary has actually only given up one touchdown through the air in the last 4 weeks. They've been picking off passes. I would be very cautious to use any of those guys, Rivers, Chambers, or Vincent Jackson.
Very interesting. And LaDainian Tomlinson, what do you think?
I got to start him in my league, so I hope he does well.
Yeah.
Or at least one league, my office league, which it's shameful to lose in that one. So. they expect a lot. I mean, I think I have him ranked about 12th, so... That tells you where he is. I don't think he's at the top tier in a great matchup like this. I think you have to play him. He should get you 80, 100 yards, and you hope for the touchdown. He's not the same guy, but he's good enough. You're probably not going to find two better options than him.
Exactly. Before we let you go, we should also cater to some of people who are maybe completely out of the playoffs. If you had to do, I don't know if this is something you've thought about at all, if you had to do a first round for the 2009 draft, fast forward to July or August of next year, could you give us who the top five guys are going to be in most, your average fantasy draft for 2009? If you had to take a stab at it right now?
Adrian Peterson will be the clear-cut number one.
It has to be number one.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
Matt Forte is going to be in that top five. Or he should be.
Yep.
Well, Danian Tomlinson should not be in that top five.
Good
he
call.
Should not be in the top 10. I have a feeling he probably will be anyways. But I don't think he's a top 20 guy even maybe at this point overall. Well, who else would get in there? A healthy Steven Jackson is going to be close.
Sure.
But a lot of the top guys, like you mentioned, aren't really the same. I mean, it's going to depend a little bit on the offseason. Chris Johnson's probably a top 10 to 15 pick.
Yep.
A healthy Brian Westbrook is going to be in the top five or six.
Yep.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
Yep. I put you on the spot. I apologize for that, but just thought maybe there was something.
No. it's great fodder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about it quickly, what I think you'll see is a similar trend to what you started seeing this year, which is that you're going to see some receivers and quarterbacks mixed up in there because there's not a huge gap, I don't think, between the top running backs and everyone else. I mean, to me, there's Peterson, and then there's everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, there's Jacobs, there's Gore. I know Gore, actually, there's an answer. I mean, Gore is definitely going to be in my top five.
Sure.
Marion Barber is going to be there. So, actually, there it starts filling out. Gore, Barber, Forte. I think that's, four of the guys.
And would you say that the quarterback who you said is your favorite guy in fantasy football right now, Jay Cutler, would you expect him to be the first quarterback in a lot of leagues maybe next year? Possibly?
That's another one. I would – he might be on my rankings, but I think Drew Brees will probably get taken in front of him.
You got to figure that. Well, listen, Greg, you've got a lot on your mind, including that $1 million, and we want to make sure that we give you enough time to get ready.
$1 million.
That's our producer having a little fun there as well. Wish you a lot of luck in that. I certainly do. That's incredible if you're able to be in the money there. But in general, all the best with your playoff predictions. We appreciate all the insight you've given us and hope to talk to you again, if not during the rest of this playoff season, then Fantasy Football 09.
Yeah, anytime. And I just jinxed myself from winning anything.
Oh, I don't think so. No, you come on this show. No one has ever said on this show that they're about to win $1 million and not get it. How about that?
There you go.
There's still a chance. There's still a chance. Greg, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com. Excellent analysis and insight. And you can check out his rankings, which come out every Thursday. Actually, I think he brings them out maybe on Wednesdays as well, now that there are Thursday games. But he has excellent stuff. We like to talk about his rankings, and we appreciate him coming down. And I'll tell you what. If I was ever in a fantasy league where the winnings were $1 million, I wouldn't be able to control myself trying to go through lineup and roster moves each week. I virtually have no money on the line when I do my fantasy leagues. I just like to do it for enjoyment, and it's tense enough. So, hopefully he gave you some advice for the playoffs of, these next coming weeks, or, a couple of, interesting thoughts on next year's, fantasy draft. Patriots.com, web radio at Patriots.com. That is our email address, as always. We've got a bunch of emails that we're going to get to. There's still plenty of time for you to send your sit, who to start emails. We're going to get to those in a bit, and a few other news and notes items that I wanted to address. We'll be right back right after this on the Fantasy Lowdown.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is our email address. One quick note about next week. We will certainly be coming to you with a Fantasy Lowdown episode next Thursday. It will air at its normal time, 4 o'clock Eastern. We will, however, be recording it earlier. I'll be out on the West Coast covering the Patriots for Patriots Today, and we will be recording the show earlier. So we encourage you to get your emails into us if you're in the playoffs next week and have some important questions. Just make sure you send them in to webradio@patriots.com by Wednesday night to make sure we read them on the air. So again, Fantasy Lowdown will come to you at a normal time, 4 o'clock next Thursday, pre-recorded, so get your emails in early. Speaking of emails, we have a bunch to get to. Let's get to them right now. Neil from Winnipeg writes in, "Hi, B-Lo. So I won my last four games and snuck into the playoffs with a big win last week. Any advice you have on who I should start for my playoff game is appreciated." That's what we're here for, Neil. "For my QBs, I have Donovan McNabb and Tyler Thigpen. Thigpen had a great game 2 weeks ago while McNabb was in the negative points. Luckily, I had Thigpen in. So last week, with the turmoil in Philly, I stuck with Thigpen and McNabb had a great game. Anyways, this week McNabb plays the Giants and Thigpen plays the Broncos. Who would you start?" Neil, I don't think there's much question here. You got to go McNabb, in my opinion. He's just the more proven guy. And granted, the Giants are a tougher team for a quarterback to play than the Broncos are. The Kansas City Chiefs and Tyler Thigpen going into Denver, a Denver team that, you know, still has a lot to prove, is probably going to make the playoffs, but still has a lot to prove. I'll take my chances on McNabb, you know, expanding on some of the momentum he started with last week on Thanksgiving. Even though it's against the Giants, I can just see Thigpen being one of those, maybe he gets a touchdown but three interception kind of games. I think McNabb, you know, maybe he gets a good amount of yardage. Maybe it's a touchdown or two, maybe a pick as well. I just think there's a little bit of a better upside for McNabb, believe it or not, than Thigpen. Wish you luck on that one. Neil continues, "As for running backs, I have Thomas Jones playing the Niners, a lock to start, I think. But my other two are Derek Ward of the Giants playing the Eagles and Sammy Morris playing Seattle. Which two would you start? It seems Ward is a passing target, but Morris is getting some goal line carries." Neil, I think I agree with you there. I'd probably put the edge to Sammy Morris over Derek Ward, who's battling a bit of an injury problem. And it is just a better chance that Morris is the leading carrier for the Patriots than Ward is for the Giants. Plus, I think the Patriots are going to be able to score against Seattle. Like you said, Morris is probably their most likely goal line guy for carries. Thomas Jones, I agree with you, and I'd probably go with Sammy Morris there. "One more question," Neil says. "As for starting defense, would you start Pittsburgh D versus Dallas or Pats D versus Seattle? I know defenses are hard to pick. I've played Pittsburgh all year and have had success, but Pats do play the Seahawks." That is a tough one. Pittsburgh D, there's no fluke here. Not a single team, including the Patriots last week, was able to top 300 total yards. That is incredible. Dallas's offense, in my opinion, is in a groove now. I think that if there is a team that can top that 300-yard mark, it is Dallas going into Pittsburgh. So I do think the Patriots D against Seattle is the better play. Seattle doesn't impress me much at all. I think the Patriots are going to completely shut down their running game, and Hasselbeck will be throwing the ball quite a bit. I think that means picks. I think it might mean a touchdown or two, but I think it means picks. I would go with the Patriots D in that situation, Neil. Thank you very much for the email. Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia, with a couple questions. "Hi, Brian. I can't figure out if I want to start the Tampa Bay defense against the Carolina Panthers or the San Diego defense against the Oakland Raiders. On the outside, I guess I would want to start whoever is playing against Oakland, but San Diego hasn't been that great defensively this year, and so far, Tampa Bay hasn't really let me down. This decision could make a huge difference for me this week, so I want to procrastinate on it as long as possible. Thank you." Well, Kevin, you can't procrastinate too much longer. It is 4:27 by my clock, and 8:15 tonight is when the Oakland Raiders and San Diego Chargers suit up. Here's what I would say, and this includes some of what Greg Rosenthal, our guest earlier in the show, said. I'd have to go with San Diego in this case. I think Oakland, first of all, Darren McFadden, probably not going to be 100%. Justin Fargas can get a few carries, but I just don't think he's going to do too well. And Jamarcus Russell, to me, is just a terrible fantasy quarterback. Like we said earlier, they virtually have no wide receivers involved in the game. I think as far as tight end, he can throw to Zach Miller. Zach Miller can get his yardage. I just think if you start the San Diego defense, I would have to bet right now you're going to get a score, a defensive score. Tampa Bay great defense, having a great year. Carolina can run the ball. I promise you, Carolina will get a couple of running touchdowns against Tampa Bay. Jake Delhomme doesn't impress me too much. You've got to go with the team playing against Oakland. I'm sorry, San Diego, it does have statistically one of the worst defenses in the league. But I'll tell you what, bring on the Oakland Raiders, as far as I'm concerned with them. They played earlier this year, Oakland and San Diego. San Diego won 28-18. I can see something similar, Kevin. I would definitely go with San Diego tonight against the Oakland Raiders. You got 3 hours and 45 minutes to make that final decision. That's what I would go with. I really wish you luck in that one. Kevin's got another question, though. For my utility player, I need to choose between Steve Breston or Reggie Bush. I wasn't overly impressed with Reggie Bush's performance last week after coming back from the knee surgery, but I would hate to bench him this week and have him put out a great performance. What do you think? I'll tell you what. All things being equal, I'd go with Reggie Bush. Steve Breston and the Arizona Cardinals are hosting St. Louis. They're at home. The weather will probably be pretty good. Kurt Warner's going to be throwing the ball. I find there to be a bigger upside for Steve Breston this week than Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush still not 100%. Pierre Thomas is going to get some yardage, get some carries. Bush might overall put together a 75-yard game combined, and you know, there's a chance he scores. I just think you're for utility spot there, I think the upside for Steve Breston this week, it might be too good to pass up, based mostly on the matchup and location of the game. You know, for New Orleans, they're hosting Atlanta. They'll be able to move the ball pretty well, and I'm sure Bush will be involved a little more than he was last week. It's a tough one, Kevin. It's definitely a tough one. My gut tells me this could be a good week for Steve Breston. I wish you luck in all of that. You say you're on the verge of the playoffs. It's an important week. And I know it could be a huge difference maker for you. I wish you luck there. Webradio@patriots.com. That is our email address. We're banging away through a bunch of emails that we have. Let's get to one more right now. This is from Paul in London, who checks in with us virtually every week, and we appreciate that. Hey, B-Lo and Dan. Giving Dan a little shout-out. Dan across the glass, always like to get him involved, even if it's just emailers throwing out his name. Much appreciated, Paul. Decent win last week by 50 points against the second-place team. And if Johnson and Jacobs had got more carries, I would have broken the 200-point barrier for the first time. Two questions rather than naming the whole team. Not an important game as first place is sorted, but I don't like the guy I'm playing, and if I win, I knock him out of the playoffs. Hey, listen, that's a great reason to win. If you're at a luxury point, Paul, where you're already in the playoffs and you just want to beat a guy because you just can't stand him, I'm with you. Go for it. Go for the kill. Okay, pick two wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex player out of these. Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, DeSean Jackson, Dominic Hickson, as far as wideouts, Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson, Peyton Hillis, and Warrick Dunn. Here's what Paul has to say as far as analysis. I'd like to play both Hickson and Hillis, as it's a pointless game for me anyway, but this should be the week where Moss and Welker put it together, hopefully. Wes's injury is a concern, obviously, but I have a feeling he'll play and want to prove a point. Well, Wes really doesn't have an injury. He got absolutely leveled by Ryan Clark, but not on the injury report. Should be 100%. Whether that means that, you know, there's that intangible factor of, is he, you know, at all hesitant 1 week later to go over the middle? I don't get the sense that Wes Welker's hesitant about that at all. Starting Moss and Welker, there are certain weeks where you can, certain weeks where you can't. I have a feeling this week, they might not both have big games. You got to start Moss. You got to start Fitzgerald, no question about it. And then as far as running backs, Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson, Peyton Hillis, Warrick Dunn, tough call there. I think Chris Johnson is a guarantee this week against Cleveland. Granted, Johnson and Lendale White split some of the carries, but I'd love Chris Johnson against Cleveland. And, you know, Brandon Jacobs against Philly, he actually had a pretty good game last time they played, a huge game, one of his best of the year, 126 yards and two touchdowns. I'd probably go with Jacobs and Chris Johnson, Fitzgerald and Moss. And then for the flex, I'll tell you what, Peyton Hillis is quite intriguing, and Denver plays Kansas City. It looks like he's getting the ball. I would probably go, I'd lean toward the running back if I was, you know, on the fence for that flex position. If you're between a running back and a wideout, in this case, if you're between Peyton Hillis and Wes Welker, I got to go Peyton Hillis. Ride the hot hand, and Denver is playing Kansas City. As we know, Kansas City, just one of the more dreadful teams in the league, and they are 32nd in defense. That tells you all you need to know. If Peyton Hillis is getting the ball against Kansas City, you're going to want to go with them. So to recap there, Paul, I'd go Fitzgerald and Moss at wideout. I'd go Jacobs and Johnson at running back, and I'd go Peyton Hillis as my flex. And Paul continues, is the Baltimore defense and special teams a good start? And should I keep them for week 16 and hopefully 17 if I can win my playoff game? Well, Paul, Baltimore's defense is one of the best defenses in the league. They are second overall in terms of total yardage, third against the run, second against the pass. And I'm pulling up their schedule right now. Hosting Washington this week, I like them. I like what they're going to be able to do against Washington's quarterback, Jason Campbell. The following 2 weeks, though, tough ones. Pittsburgh and at Dallas. Baltimore at Dallas in what would might maybe be the your championship week, if that's the way it is. It's not a great I wouldn't feel too comfortable with that one. You got to go week to week here. I don't know if you have another option there. I'd start Baltimore's defense this week. Next week, hosting Pittsburgh, I'd probably start them as well and feel pretty comfortable doing so. But week 16 at Dallas, that's a tough one. And week 17, hosting Jacksonville, that's another one that I'd certainly feel comfortable starting them. Dallas's offense, though, one of the top offenses in the league, and that week 16 matchup doesn't bode well, in my opinion, for Baltimore. But, I know you're not looking, Paul, too much at this week. You feel pretty comfortable about that one. But as far as for the playoffs, I wonder what your other options are, but Baltimore is an interesting one. Cheers for the help below, and hopefully we shall see you in London next year. Hey, Paul, I'd love to be on the trip. I don't know. I'm only focused on Seattle right now, to be honest with you. We'll cross the London Bridge when we get to it. Webradio@patriots.com. That is our email address, and we do have a few more emails that we're going to get to in a little bit. There's still time for you to get your emails in. A couple of other topics that I just wanted to bring up and that I was wondering about as we look at the week ahead, and that's sort of the impact of some of these off the field NFL issues, the impact as far as fantasy goes on things like the Plexico Burris situation. Burris, he was ruled out of last week's game, so shooting himself in the leg on Friday didn't affect your thoughts towards him for that week's game. Obviously, if you have Plexico Burris on your team right now, you can safely get rid of him. Unless you're looking at him as maybe a keeper for next year, you can safely get rid of him. He will not play the rest of this year. But it begs the question, who on that Giants offense might benefit the most from this? You might look at Plexico sort of in the same way as Jeremy Shockey last year, addition by subtraction for the Giants. I get the sense that that's the way they feel from an overall team standpoint. As far as fantasy, they've got some wideouts that, to me, are very intriguing. Certainly, Amani Toomer is a veteran. He's going to get balls thrown his way from Eli Manning, and I think he steps up a notch. Then when you look at guys like Dominic Hickson, Steve Smith, not the Carolina Panthers Steve Smith, obviously, the Giants Steve Smith, and Sonoris Moss. You've got some intriguing options, and if you're looking for guys to pick up, one of the topics I talked about last week is, can we look ahead to the playoffs? Who would you want to pick up? Dominic Hickson is considered, of that group, maybe the guy with the most upside, the most immediate upside. I happen to personally like Steve Smith. I've had him on one of my teams for a couple weeks now. Haven't really started him, but I've seen him as an intriguing guy, and Sonoris Moss a little bit less so. But I think Dominic Hickson is the key guy here. I think Dominic Hickson is going to emerge a little bit as the second wideout there. It's not quite comparable to the Miami situation, but last week, Greg Camarillo, the Miami Dolphins' number one wideout, was lost for the whole season. Ted Ginn Jr. sort of moves up a notch, and the guy that I had my eye on was Devon Bess, who had 6 catches, 80-something yards last week, didn't score, but certainly had a productive game, and I see more of that coming up. I think Dominic Hickson is going to be that Devon Bess of the Giants, and I think Steve Smith is going to have an opportunity there as well. Very interesting situation when you look at a guy like Burris going out for the year, whether that be because of an actual football injury or because of what happened, a shooting himself at a nightclub. We all know that story. Don't have to get too much into that. But it'll be interesting to see who Eli Manning's top targets are. And don't forget Kevin Boss as well. Kevin Boss, a very intriguing tight end. We were talking earlier with Greg Rosenthal about tight ends this year, and I mentioned that there are 8 tight ends who led their teams in receiving last week. Kevin Boss was not one of them, but I think that could be a guy who benefits as well. The ball, there'll be more possible targets with Burris out, which is interesting. Another one that I wanted to bring up is this Detroit-Minnesota Vikings game this week. If the two Williamses in the middle of the Vikings defensive line are not playing, all of a sudden, it opens the door for the opposing running back to have a big fantasy game. In this case, with Detroit, that could be Kevin Smith. I have a funny feeling here with Kevin Smith that he could have a big breakout game if the Williams brothers aren't there. Now, certainly if the Williams, I say brothers, then they actually aren't brothers, but if the two Williamses, Pat and Kevin Williams, are in there, then you know Kevin Smith is a guy you're not going to really want to consider. But I like the idea of Kevin Smith having an interesting breakout game, possibly, if the Vikings are missing two of their leaders right there. So those are a few of the topics that I had in mind, and you can chime in on those topics or others at webradio@patriots.com. Like I said just at the beginning of this segment, keep in mind you can send us your emails at any point during the week. We'll get to them on the next show, and next week we will not be coming to you live. We will come to you at 4 o'clock, so get your emails in earlier by Wednesday evening. We'll talk a little bit more about the Patriots-Seahawks game and some fantasy implications there, and get to more of your emails as we move along here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce,
guacamole,
cookies and
brownies,
homemade tortilla chips,
everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties,
soccer games,
birthday parties,
baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh,
affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Happy to be with you here, Brian Lowe, and we've still got some emails that we're going to get to here as we go through this final segment here on the show, and plenty of other topics that I wanted to bring your way. Dan, hey, how are you right now? Dan, what's going on in fantasy? I'm just kidding. Messing around with Dan Tugender, our producer here, who had to help me out with a computer situation here as we were coming back from break. One other item here, the Buffalo quarterback situation. Looks like J.P. Lossman is going to be back in action for the Buffalo Bills with an injured injured Trent Edwards. And just wondering if anyone has any thoughts on the Buffalo quarterback situation. My guess is you're not going to want to touch either one of these guys. Edwards, game-time decision with a groin injury. J.P. Lossman could be coming in. He was never a good fantasy performer during his time. But, you know, let me know what you think about that one. And Jamarcus Russell. I brought this up with Greg Rosenthal earlier. Jamarcus Russell, just an abysmal, some abysmal performances in general. And fantasy-wise, it's just unbelievable. Last week, they had a grand total of one catch by a wide receiver. You really can't rely on anyone there on that that Raiders passing game. Justin Fargus is an interesting one, though, as far as the running game for Oakland. But also, I mentioned earlier that Darren McFadden looks like he is probably going to play, but won't be 100%. So an interesting one right there. Kerry Collins and the Tennessee wide receivers. Justin Gage had a big game a couple weeks ago. But, you know, we were talking about the idea of who do you trust the most in these playoff weeks when we were talking to Greg. And Kerry Collins, is he a guy you trust? You got to give him a ton of credit for what he's been able to do this year with the Titans. It's been great. But is he a guy that you would, you'd be able to trust if you have him as one of your, leading quarterbacks on your fantasy team down the stretch here in the playoffs? So a few other topics that we'd be happy to hear from you about. We heard from Brent in Ottawa, Ottawa Brent, as he calls himself, chiming in at webradio at patriots.com. Hey, B-Low, well, I have basically the same positional questions that I had for you a couple of weeks ago. With the running backs that I have, it is never an easy decision each week, even though I shouldn't complain, since I am 12-1 and in first place. Hey, Brent, a lot of people would take that positioning. Trust me. So here's what he says. Your thoughts on my running backs, Brandon Jacobs, Brian Westbrook, Joseph Addai, and Reggie Bush. I like Jacobs this week. He played pretty well against the Eagles last week, and I hope for a similar display. Westbrook plays the very tough Giants, but that performance last week killed me since I didn't play him. Addai plays the Bengals, enough said, and Bush is getting healthier, and my league is a PPR format, points per reception. As of right now, I am leaning towards Jacobs and Addai. I just don't want to miss another 3-4 TD performance by Westbrook, even though I don't think he can do that against the Giants. Your thoughts? I agree with you there on Brian Westbrook. Four touchdown games don't come around too often. And also, Westbrook had a tough one, a real tough one, last time Philadelphia played the Giants. So you're going to want to I'd be a little worried there. Brandon Jacobs, no doubt about it. They're playing Philly, clearly the Jacobs-Westbrook matchup. But Jacobs, as I said earlier, had a massive game, a two-touchdown game and over 100 yards the last time the Giants played Philly a couple weeks ago. I'd definitely go with Jacobs. I'd probably lean towards a die here over Westbrook. Even though Westbrook, you know, he's a productive player, he probably won't have those four touchdowns. And he was held out of Thursday's practice, but the Eagles usually do hold him out of practice. He's fully expected to play and start in Week 14. But like you said, I think Joseph Addai with Indianapolis going up against Cincinnati, I think is too good to pass up. Cincinnati, one of the 24th ranked run defense. We were talking earlier, and I've talked to some people during the week about this Joseph Addai, Dominic Rhodes situation. Even if Dominic Rhodes is a guy guy who's going to get some goal line carries or get some carries in general. I just think the breakout ability, the burst that Joseph Addai has, he could probably get, a 20, 30-something yard touchdown in this week, and you'd really be killing yourself if you didn't have Addai in your lineup. So, Brent, if you're asking me, which you are, I'd go Brandon Jacobs and Joseph Addai with Westbrook and Bush on the outside looking in if you've got to start two of those four. Also, a QB, Tony Romo or Matt Ryan? The obvious choice is Romo, but he plays the Steelers, and we all saw what happened to Castle last week. I think last time Ryan played the Saints, he had two TDs and around 280 yards. You're right on with Matt Ryan. He did have two TDs, about 250 yards, I believe. Decent percentage there. New Orleans hosting Atlanta, or Atlanta at New Orleans in the case of Ryan from his perspective. So New Orleans is a defense that you can throw against. They are the 24th ranked pass defense in the league. And I agree with you on Tony Romo. I'd probably lean towards Ryan right now. You say the obvious choice is Romo, and he's one of the top quarterbacks. I do agree with you that this could be a tough week. I did say earlier that I think the Dallas offense might be the offense that does get over 300 yards total against Pittsburgh. That doesn't mean, though, that Romo is a guy you want to start. You might get the big play out of Romo and Terrell Owens. I honestly think that Matt Ryan is the safer play this week. Amazing. He's a rookie. It's amazing what he's been able to do. I just think that even if they're close, and they probably are close in most rankings you see, I think the matchup might put put Ryan over the edge. Both of them playing on the road, but New Orleans a much more hospitable defense than Pittsburgh is. So that's what I would say there, Brent. The only other positional battles I have is my number three wideout spot and my tight end spot. My number one and two wide receivers are Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson, who are must-starts every week. I just have to decide between Jericho Cotchery and Santonio Holmes every week. I like Cotchery this week against the 49ers. At tight end, it's between Kevin Boss and Heath Miller. I think I'm going with Boss this week. I agree with you on Boss at tight end. I have Heath Miller on one of my teams. You kind of know what you're going to get out of Heath Miller. It's going to be a 4 or 5 catch, 50, 60-yard game. Not a lot of touchdowns there. I think Kevin Boss is a little bit better upside. Heath Miller this week against Dallas and Boss for the Giants against Philadelphia. I'd lean towards Boss. It's close, though. Same thing with Cotchery and Holmes. I'd probably lean towards Cotchery, like you said, against the 49ers. And I just think, as long as you don't also have Brett Favre, I think Brett Favre, he's going to throw the ball. I think they're going to throw the ball against the Niners. It'll probably mean a few picks, but it could mean a big play for Jericho Cotchery. I think there's better upside there with Cotchery than Holmes. So to recap those questions there, I'd go Cotchery. I'd go Boss. Anyway, thanks for the help. I look forward to your show every week. So says Brent in Ottawa. Brent, much appreciated. Always good to get your thoughts as well. Web radio at patriots.com is where you got to go to, send us your emails and your who to start, who to sit. Here's Matt. B-Lo, playoffs are starting this week. I have tough running back matchups. Let me know what you think. Marion Barber versus Pittsburgh. Maurice Jones-Drew versus Chicago. Jonathan Stewart versus Tampa Bay. Tashard Choice versus Pittsburgh. Or Leon Washington versus San Francisco. Very interesting questions there, because you got a couple of pretty much everyone here is either you're dealing with either an injury situation or a splitting carry situation and some tough matchups. Marion Barber versus Pittsburgh, he does have an injury he's dealing with. Let me see if I can just get the latest on that one for you, Matt. And obviously, that situation with Marion Barber is tied into the guy who basically is the backup there in Dallas now, and that's the rookie from Georgia, Tashard Choice, a very intriguing guy if Marion Barber isn't healthy or isn't at 100%. Certainly, if you can make that decision right up until game time, if Barber is healthy and it looks like Barber's going to play, you obviously, I would say you shy away from Tashard Choice. Here's what RotoWorld says on Marion Barber. Barber. He missed practice again on Thursday. It was a planned absence. The Cowboys will decide Barber's status for Week 14 based on how he looks in Friday's workout. He is expected to start. So, Matt, you can sort of wait until tomorrow. You don't even have to wait until Sunday. It looks like Wade Phillips will make that decision. You're probably going to want to lean towards Marion Barber, because if he does play and he's close to 100%, he's one of the top five running backs in the league. Maurice Jones-Drew, Don't really like that against Chicago this week. Don't like what the Jacksonville offense has been able to do. Very difficult matchup there, I think Chicago's defense hasn't been looking too good, but I just don't like what Jacksonville might I don't like the prospects of Jacksonville. Jonathan Stewart, it's such a tough call. I mean, week after week after week, he's got some huge games, but D'Angelo Williams, I got a feeling that Carolina's going to mostly ride the hot hand. Like I said with Tashard Choice, only if Marion Barber isn't going. And then Leon Washington might be your most intriguing guy there, believe it or not. He's not going to get a ton of the carries, especially with Thomas Jones doing well. So I would have to say, hard to say that you're going to start Leon Washington. Intriguing, but not really startable. You might be looking at Marion Barber and Jones-Drew anyways, even though, like I said, I don't like the matchup with Jones-Drew. But, if he does, it looks like he might be the guy that has the best chance of these other four to at least split the carries, whereas I don't think Stewart's going to get a ton of carries this time around, and they're playing Tampa. I don't think Choice is going to get a ton of carries if Barber plays. And Leon Washington, great in for special teams if that's part of it. And if it is, you might want to readjust. But if it's just as far as offense, I'm probably going Barber and Jones-Drew, although I'm not wild about Jones-Drew. Matt continues, I need to pick a third wide receiver, Vincent Jackson or Nate Washington, Devon Bess, Justin Gage. I assume it's pick a third out of those four. Vincent Jackson, Nate Washington, Devon Bess, and Justin Gage. Like I've said in the past, earlier today and last week, I'm very high on Devon Bess. Vincent Jackson, though, you've got to give him the nod there, I would have to say. Based on having Phillip Rivers thrown to him and, San Diego playing against Oakland tonight, you're going to have to make that call. Justin Gage, I mean, I like what he's been able to do. I just think the upside there is three or four catches and maybe he breaks one loose. And Nate Washington, not wild about him either, with Pittsburgh. I'd probably stick with Vincent Jackson there. But Devon Bess would be my sleeper, among those choices you have there. Go Vincent Jackson tonight. I hope, wish you well there. But those are some interesting, tough calls. And I got to be honest with you, Matt. I don't love your running back situation there. But as far as wide receiver, you got a couple of guys with some upside. And Matt writes, I need the fantasy lowdown to come through for me this week. Matt, I don't know if I've come through for you as often as I'd like. I wish you luck there, and hopefully I can give you some tips as you plow through into the playoffs here. WebRadioPatriots.com, there is still some time for you to join us here as we wrap up the show here in these final few minutes. We had Greg Rosenthal on the show earlier. At the beginning of the hour, just getting to a few of his rankings for this week real quick. His quarterbacks, his top five, Kurt Warner, Drew Brees, as he said, his 1-2, and Jay Cutler, number three against Kansas City. Cutler is sort of emerging as a top five, top seven quarterback when he's playing Kansas City. It's a no-brainer. Aaron Rodgers against Houston and Peyton Manning against Cincinnati. He has Matt Cassel sixth. That's amazing. I'm not saying that I disagree with it. It's just that I wouldn't have thought that Matt Cassel would be seen as a top eight guy really in any league. He's ahead of Matt Ryan. He's ahead of Brett Favre, ahead of McNabb, ahead of Romo. Can you believe that? Tony Romo is five spots below Matt Cassel on some legit rankings here for quarterbacks. Greg says expect a rebound out of Matt Cassel. They're at Seattle. I mean, that's a great time to do it. So adjust accordingly with your Patriots wide receivers. He's got Cassel, Matt Ryan 7, Brett Favre 8, Tyler Thigpen 9, sneaky play, he says, and Donovan McNabb. I don't really agree as far as Thigpen. I like what Thigpen's done, but I think it's going to be a tough, tough, tough one for him at Denver this week. Tony Romo, 11. Sean Hill, 12. As far as running back, Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, 1-2. Peterson against Detroit, no-brainer. Couldn't ask for anything better if you're a Peterson owner and you need a win this week. Matt Forte against Jacksonville, Thomas Jones at San Francisco. He's on a hot streak there. Chris Johnson against Cleveland and Michael Turner at New Orleans are his top five. No-brainers there. Brandon Jacobs, 6 against Philadelphia. I agree. He had a huge game against Philly last time out. Frank Gore against the Jets. Steven Jackson, especially if he's healthy, against Arizona. Steve Slayton against Green Bay, coming off a big week on Monday Night Football, the first time Houston has hosted Monday Night Football, the Houston Texans. And then Joseph Addai, number 10, against Cincinnati. I've got to agree right there. Wide receivers, this has become a habit. The two Arizona guys, especially if they're playing a team like St. Louis, really if they're playing any other team in their division, let's be honest, Anquan Boldin 1, Larry Fitzgerald 2, there's not much to consider there. Roddy White, number 3, that Matt Ryan to Roddy White connection is just rolling, and Atlanta at New Orleans. Steve Smith of the Panthers going against Tampa Bay, number 4, and Greg Jennings of Green Bay against Houston, number 5. Reggie Wayne, Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Randy Moss, and Calvin Johnson round out your top 10. And as far as tight ends, we were talking earlier about how many quality tight ends there are. And really, as I look down his list, he's got 24 of them ranked here. Heath Miller is 21. To me, that tells you all you need to know about how many quality tight ends there are. I'd feel fairly comfortable starting Heath Miller. But there are 20 guys ahead of him on this list. Tony Gonzalez, number 1. Dustin Keller, the rookie for the Jets, number 2. Antonio Gates, 3. Jason Witten, 4. Dallas Clark, 5. So of that top 5, 4 of the 5 are veterans who you've been able to rely on, then Dustin Keller. But this next tier, some very intriguing choices. Zach Miller, Tony Scheffler, Jeremy Shockey, Chris Cooley, and John Carlson, number 10. Carlson has really been the only bright spot in the Seattle offense this year. The rookie tight end is leading the Seahawks in most receiving categories. And then if we continue down the list, Owen Daniels, Bo Scaife, Kevin Boss, who I think is an intriguing sleeper pick this week, Vasante Shenko, and Greg Olson of the Chicago Bears. Real quick, the defense is Titans, number 1 against Cleveland, no-brainer there. Baltimore, number 2 against Washington. Chicago against Jacksonville. So if we get back to that Maurice Jones-Drew question, that kind of gives you a hint of what at least what Greg Rosenthal thinks about the Bears' defense this week against Jones-Drew in Jacksonville. He's got the Bears number 3. Vikings are 4 against Detroit, and the Giants are 5 against Philadelphia. As far as the Patriots-Seahawks matchup goes, he's got the Patriots as the 15th defense and the Seahawks 26th. So that tells you a little bit about what you need to know for Week 14 in the NFL. Tonight's game, as we said, San Diego against Oakland. An interesting game. Can LaDainian Tomlinson rebound? He's had some great performances against Oakland in the past. What do we make of Justin Fargas, especially if Darren McFadden isn't quite healthy, so that's an interesting one right there. A couple of notes as we close out here. You can check out, we've got a game day blog, a Patriots Today game day blog on Patriots.com, coming your way every single game live, home or away, and we'll be at Quest Field in Seattle on Sunday. I'll have blog updates pregame, during the game, post game, so you're going to want to check that out if you're watching the game, or certainly if you can't watch the game, I'll be happy to provide that with you. We're going to be heading out to the out west for the full week, the Patriots Today crew, and we'll be covering the Patriots right here on Patriots.com. So check out Patriots Today each and every day, Monday through Friday next week. All you need to know is the Patriots will then be preparing for the Oakland Raiders, spending a second week out in the out west, much like they did earlier in the season in October. And, of course, the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots Today, later on today on Patriots.com. You can check that out as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be with you next Thursday, 4 to 5, right here on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Lowdown. We will be recording the show earlier. Get your emails in to webradio@patriots.com by Wednesday night if you want to get us to talk about them on the air. We hope we have informed you today.
So how long are we going here?
Great question. I see we have some visitors in the studio there. Be sure to get your questions in. We're not going to go much longer, Dan. We're going to wrap it up right about now. Appreciate you joining us, and thanks for your emails on the Fantasy Lowdown. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. What?